And the other thing I wanted to comment on, I'm just looking at my notes, if you'll bear with me. Now, as I recall, I think a letter to the Beacon regarding your position on this particular issue, you said you were going to support it and that you had six co-sponsors. And I understand the six co-sponsors, Ed Lattisaw and Mrs. Travis. Everybody else is a co-sponsor of your resolution. There's two things I find with that. One, I don't know how you came to the conclusion that you could vote to pass this issue tonight when the time you wrote that letter, you knew certain information was missing. You didn't have the fiscal note. You weren't confident in the numbers. You was talking about an additional $22 million that's not covered in the bond issue. It was talking about $16.4 million in new debt service. So that information was lacking when you wrote your article. But you're standing by it, even though tonight that all of the information is not available. So I'm wondering two things. How did you come to that conclusion without the information? And I'm curious as to how you came up with six co-sponsors, because you didn't do it in a public meeting, which would have been proper. So you either did it over the phone, or you did it through email or text messages. So if you did it over the phone, if you did it over coffee, if you did it through email, if you did it through text messages, I think that's a technical violation of the Open Meetings Act.
Just well, I can answer that for you, Mr. Cook. At the end of every council meeting, we have a docket session, which is a public meeting. And if you could watch the tape, I thought at the last council meeting, I said, I will be docketing a resolution regarding the school bonds, and I'm looking for co-sponsors. So that was made public, and I believe a number of our colleagues signed up to be co-sponsors right then, and then it was public.
Okay.
And the other two asked to be co-sponsors as well. So
again,
thank you.
Just for the record, I don't agree with you. And I am intending to
file. I mean, you could look at the record.
I told Councilman Ricks, and I'll tell all of you, I'm going to be filing a complaint with the Attorney General's office and let them deal with it. I think it was improper. Now, I want to go back to this issue about union wages and prevailing wages. And I know we rehashed that, and I know you answered it. But just to be clear, if in fact it ends up that you're not using prevailing wages, certainly there's a good opportunity for strife, union objections, work stoppage.
As a point of information, the term used in the estimate is the exact same thing as prevailing wage. You can look it up. It means the exact same thing. The terminology used, to be clear, in the report means the exact same thing as prevailing wage. If you do not believe me, you may look it up.
Thank you, Mr. Sinapi.
Well, Mr. Sinapi, I'm sorry. I don't usually hear too much out of you, and I'm sorry I wasn't paying attention to you. Would you please repeat that?
It's been asked and answered. It is prevailing wage.
Well, he was speaking about definition, and prevailing wage and union wage are different. I don't know what the point was he was making. For the record, I'm not against new schools. I'm against the way in which you're paying for the schools. Now, it seems to me that tonight we've heard from, or we've seen action for the people who want these schools, and that's fine, that's their choice. I'd like to see at least one new school, but I object to the...
You have 1 minute.
I object to the way it's being paid. Now, in closing, I simply want to say this. I think this meeting, this vote should be tabled. I don't think you've properly answered the questions of the taxpayers. What you have offered this evening is a building or two buildings that you want to give us. We're not getting the building that was on the bond issue. We're not getting the buildings that the people who are in favor of it wanted. So what we're getting is what you're willing to give us, which is not what these people wanted. So I think the only fair action is the council should table this vote. It should be tabled indefinitely until all their questions are answered to the satisfaction of the Warwick taxpayers. And I might say this too, regarding the total indebtedness. If I remember looking at my notes, if this project is done, it seems to me we're going to have about $1.5 billion in what I'm considering unfunded liabilities or in total debt. And as Lee said earlier.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
How are we going to pay for it? I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please identify yourself for the record.
Don Fife, District 31. Mr. President, members of the City Council. I went to Warwick Vets High School and graduated in 1961. It was the only high school in at that time. And at that time, we had 20,000 students, one high school, but we had double sessions. And today, I hear we have less than 8,000 students, grades K through 12. How many of those students are seniors? Anybody know? Can you ask that?
I don't know if we have that information at this time.
They must have it. They must have it on record somewhere. I don't think we have to build two new high schools.
Excuse me, only one person has the mic. If Mr. Fife is speaking, I need the chatter, so it's very hard to hear.
Well, it must be on record how many students and how many seniors in work. The superintendent made a presentation at Brookham High School, and she said restoring another building will cost just as much. That's not true, because if that was true, private industry would do that. Private industry does not. They buy empty buildings, they restore them. For example, Market Basket bought Home Goods, they restored it. It's a beautiful building. I call it one of the seven wonders of the world. And Stop and Shop, they restored their own building on Greenwich Avenue by Lowe's. And it looks they did that to compete with Market Basket. And it looks good. A company bought Lockwood School, and they restored that, making it apartment buildings. They didn't build from scratch. That's what private industry does, because it's their own money. The city, state doesn't do that because it's not their money. The money you have, you take in, you should treat it as your own money to make your budget. Even the mayor of Warwick, before the bonds were voted on, and I'm going to quote, it was in the August 2nd issue of Warwick Beacon. I'm going to quote. He said, the people of Warwick will be forced out of their homes because they won't be able to afford the property taxes. So why did we go through this process? It sounds like he was against it. He's telling people that they're going to leave. We had once 20,000 students in Warwick, and now we have less than 8,000. People left because the property taxes were too high. And now they're going to be incredible. If these two high schools, we're going to be leaving. The mayor said so. We won't be able to afford to live here. But we're not against the schools. You can do it a lot cheaper by fixing what you got or restoring other buildings. Warwick Vets was built in 1956. It was the only high school in Warwick. They restored it. They even put an addition on. And you can fix up what you got. You got plenty of empty buildings. You should have did that with Aldrich. That was a beautiful building. That was once a high school. Why not make Warwick back to a high school? It was once a high school. and make other buildings junior highs. Let's see. We should be able to see the a fiscal note, or that's another. Warwick is right now $1 billion in debt because of funded pensions, unfunded pensions, and health care. And you want to add, it's incredible. You cannot tax a community for more than what they can afford. You're just going to run people out of town, including me. And I'm 82, I'll be 82 next month, and I don't want to move at my age. Just don't want to move at that age, but I will if I have to. We're not against the schools. We only need one, and you can build up what you have, fix up what you have, and Warwick will still be a beautiful place. And I've been here all my life, all 81 years. Probably the oldest person in here. All right, thank you.
Sir, thank you, sir. The next speaker, come up and please identify yourself.
Good evening, my name is Braden Ogden.
My name is Jamie Luna.
My name is Jeremy Luna.
My name is Connor Salzillo.
Myself and my teammates are here on behalf of the Tollgate High School athletic programs. We would like to address the lack of access to sports complexes at our school, as well as a suitable environment to train, practice, and become better athletes. We do not have a baseball or softball field on our school campus. We are instead forced to travel across the city of Warwick to play at the Vets Middle School baseball field. This makes traveling to games and practice a major issue in addition to the lack of buses for our teams. Our game times and practices often conflict with that of Vets Middle School baseball, who are not able to practice and play freely on their own field. Practices thus end early or start late for both teams. We ask that you please take into consideration the students and student athletes of our future by providing them adequate sports complexes as well as proper learning environments for the better of the coming generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Hello. Please identify yourself for the record.
Hello, my name is Antonio Pagliarini, and I'm a senior at Pilgrim High School, and I've been in the chorale program for 4 years. I feel that with a new building, the music program could thrive. The music program is a big part of Pilgrim. In chorus alone, we get 70 to 140 members per year. The music program could benefit from its own dedicated room with improved acoustics, tools, instruments, and resources. This program is very important to me, and I believe has changed me as a person for the better. I believe a new school could really benefit the music program and other programs and classes that all students at Pilgrim High School love.
Thank you.
Hello, I am Cameron Gavin. I'm in 11th grade. I am an AP and honor roll student, and I'm hoping to bring some more student representation, which we haven't been able to see much of tonight. As someone who is also a member of the chorale program and all-state and drama programs at Pilgrim, they provide a lot of opportunities for kids, such as all-state, chorale, and nationals. And a lot of the kids there do tend to become music majors. And specifically with the school alone for concerts, we have to host classes in the auditorium with no AC and concerts in the auditorium with no AC, which, you know, is a problem in its own because it gets very hot in there. And not only are we one of the best pathways in Pilgrim and in Warwick, we are one of the best performing groups in Rhode Island Public School. And I feel like what the new school could do, because I know while money is tight for this project, we're not asking for our own separate auditorium. We're simply asking for a classroom that has better acoustics or can facilitate an actual chorus of kids with 120 or so students. And I feel that that is worth something that you should vote for. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bertie McKay, and I am here as a part of the Pilgrim Choral Program. All these new, this new school and all the new amenities it would provide to us would allow us just to do what we do even better. Just like Cameron said, a lot of people who are part of these programs and part of the choral program go on to be music majors. And with these new amenities, it would help prepare us better for college and help us, you know, just be better at what we're doing in general. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, thank you. My name is George Landry. For somebody who actually knows me and maybe knows me well, knows me as Kinemickett George. So I've been around Warwick since 1968. I'd just like to say I'm proud of my students, some of my former students that just spoke. I teach music in Warwick at Warwick Vets Middle School. I am the chorus teacher, and would love to see two new high schools. Warwick is a beautiful, I think we got to step back here for a second and realize we have true eclectic charm in this city. I grew up alone. This city and these public schools probably saved my life. And because of my wonderful public school teachers, administration, and these schools. I went to Kinemickett School, which was an older school. Then I went to a brand new school called Hoxie Elementary. Then I went back to an older school called Gorton Junior High School. And then I went to a fairly new school called Pilgrim High School. And I graduated Pilgrim 43 years ago. It is time. I want you to know that each neighborhood in this city is really wonderful, if you really know. I have walked the entire shoreline of this city. There's no greater place in this state than the Kinemickett Point Sandbar. I've been there at every hour of 24 hours in a day. I've seen sunsets, sunrises, stars, rain. It's beautiful, it's scenic, and let's not lose sight of Warwick. Warwick's a great place to live. Warwick's a great place to bring up a family. I can think of no other place that deserves two brand new high schools. It is time to build these high schools and bring these people together. And we're talking about 5 votes. That's all we're talking about, 5 votes, a 5-4 vote from the city council. It will benefit probably the students in kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth grade. It will benefit the families that are thinking of settling here. It will benefit the new families. It's not about me, it's not about today, it's about the future. It will bring in new families. It will help the city of Warwick's reputation. You will have state-of-the-art high schools, athletic fields, and I too would offer the help, my own help, to help you build a state-of-the-art performing arts center for these schools and the future of Warwick students. In the near future, and in the upcoming years, houses will and are being built. New businesses are coming. The expansion of the tax base is coming. That will bring new dollars to help alleviate the so-called tax burden. The approval of new schools is simply the most sensible thing to do right now to better our city. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Darlene, Ward 7, homeowner, taxpayer, et cetera. In addition to the voters voting for the state of Rhode Island to reimburse cities and towns that build new schools, and in addition to the voters of Warwick voting for these two new schools, the city council has done its due diligence. The city council, first of all, the schools had their study. Then they had a peer review study. Then the city council hired an outside agency to do a study. Then the state of Rhode Island helped the city of Warwick and other cities and towns in this endeavor because they're going to reimburse as we go. The pay as you go has passed. The start date and end date for this project has changed. So there is time to plan and get these started properly. There are no other excuses out there to prevent voting for these schools and getting them started. They will increase the value of life in Warwick. They will increase property values. They will attract families into the city. Just look at around the state what happens when a new school is built. Look at all of the attention on East Providence. Look at the attention on North Kingston 20 years ago when they built their new school. Look at Newport breaking ground on a new school. Look at Cranston just opened a new school. There is nothing better than the excitement of a new school to re-energize a community. And that's what you will get when you build these new schools. You heard from current students of both Tollgate and Pilgrim. I graduated from Tollgate in 1984. The school was probably, you know, a little over 10 years old. I sat in a room in the science wing with a leaking roof, with tar coming through, with big sheets of plastic collecting the goo into tubs at the end. We used to rush to get to that class so we wouldn't have to sit in a seat that had tar on it. And that's when the school was only 10 years old. It was built on a swamp. Neither of these schools were built properly to begin with. But why were they built? Because there were 40,000 kids, because Vets was on double sessions. So first Pilgrim and then Tollgate were built. There's talk about, well, we should have one school. That's not what was on the ballot. Furthermore, I heard a question about how many students we have. Both Tollgate and Pilgrim have roughly 1,300 students. So if you put those 1,300 into one building, that's 2,600 students. And when you get into buildings that size, then you have to start talking about how to break them down into smaller units or houses to properly address the social emotional needs of students, to properly address their academic needs. Warwick, as Mr. Landry was just talking about, is a beautiful place. It's a very large place. It's spread out. We have Pottawamat. We have Patuxent. That's a very great distance between. How do you put Pottawamat kids on a bus for 40 minutes or Patuxent kids on a bus for 40 minutes? Geographically, we're spread out. We need the two schools. And the plans are there. So some things may have changed, but the overall structure will be there. And the 21st century learning spaces will be there. The ability to upgrade electronics and computers and internet and everything else. The 3D printers, all of the programs that we can offer, pathways and career center programs. They will be there in this school. And there's talk about not having air conditioning. I don't think anyone in the school department would ever build a building that didn't have AC. The school department has spent the past couple of years upgrading elementary schools and putting AC in them. We know we need the air conditioning. I told you I teach in a room without windows. In addition to being a homeowner, taxpayer, and teacher, my family also owns a small business in this town. My father, who has since passed away, started it a long time ago. And I obviously would feel the effects tax-wise. But I think any tax increase is worth it because, as Mr. Landry pointed out, the more people you have coming in, the more businesses you have coming in, the larger the tax base is going to be. So enough dithering. All contrary to some public opinion, the city council has done its due diligence. The school department, with whom I have some issues, not related to this, has done its due diligence. It's time to do what the voters want and to pass this resolution, release the money, and build these schools. Please vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. My name is Greg Mancini. I represent a construction trade association called Build Rhode Island. We are an association comprised of union contractors and also labor unions themselves. Incidentally, I'm also currently a sitting member of the North Kingstown Town Council. I got a couple comments to make before I do so. I do want to provide my condolences to Anthony Sinapi, the loss of his grandfather. Anthony, I know your grandfather would be very proud of you. Currently, there are 10 municipalities in the state of Rhode Island that are going to hold off-year special elections for a school, or primarily school referendum or bond questions. And the reason why they're doing that is because they're, the state is offering temporary one-time bonuses that will expire on June 30th, 2024. So if these municipalities or Warwick doesn't award a contract to a contractor, by that time, they're going to lose out on tens of millions of dollars on something, by the way, in Warwick situations where the voters already approved. So I would encourage you to think about that. I'd also like to let you know that according to the Associated General Contractors, which is the most preeminent national construction trade association, over the past 3 years, the United States construction industry has had unprecedented volatility in material costs, supply chain bottlenecks, and labor costs. And according to them, the situation remains far from normal. And as a consequence, annual inflation in the construction industry since August of 2020 is a staggering 11.2% annually. And according to the Associated General Contractors, there is no indication that that inflation rate is going to let up anytime soon. So meaning, the longer you delay your projects, the longer you delay the will of the people, the more you're going to pay in the long run. So for those reasons, I implore you to vote today in favor of these bonds, because I can tell you, for those conservatives out there, it's only going to cost more later on down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Please identify yourself for the record.
Council President, my name's Armin Lucy, Ward 9. My home is here. My business is here. I'm a member of the Warwick School Building Committee for the last couple of years. I'm getting very familiar with the high school projects. You've heard it's going to cost $800 a foot, $700 a foot, $600 a foot. We don't really know what they're going to cost. The design isn't done. So you need to design the job. And I believe the most affordable way to procure these new schools that we need, everyone agrees that we need them, is to go competitive sealed bidding, 37-2-18 Rhode Island General Law. That's the only way to determine how much these are going to cost. You hire the architect, you tell them, do a complete 100% set of drawings, you put them out to the world, you get a bid, 140, 150, 200 million, whatever it is, that's when you know what you have. So I'm suggesting that you amend your resolution, PCR-99-23, to include that these schools will be procured by a general contractor, stipulated sum, competitive sealed bidding. The other suggestion I have regarding the resolution, you have a share ratio of not less than 45%. I would put 55% there. The law was changed. We were on track to get 52.5%. We're getting 55%. So I'm making a suggestion that you change the 45 to 55. And those are my comments, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is David Tester. I am a taxpayer, 1107 Narragansett Parkway, Ward 1. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a chair of the building committee, chair of the school committee. I've been on the building committee since 2019. I come before you because I think there's a profound lack of understanding of process. This process began in 2019, where there were stakeholder groups that consisted of school officials, students, teachers, members of the community, former members of the city council. Those stakeholder groups sat and discussed a variety of options, one being one new school for the entire high school population, two new schools, brand new, or remodeling of the existing. To make a very long story short, to bring that up at this stage of the game in the ninth inning, when you weren't there for the first inning, you should have one school. I mean, I'm sorry, the train has left the station, but the stakeholder groups decided on that unanimously. So it's no secret that this district loses kids. We lose kids to North Kingstown, Ponagansett, and most recently Cranston West. Cranston West was built in 1954 with a remodel. You know what they have? They have a brand new athletic facility, brand spanking new, turfed, closed off to the public for most of the day. And we lose kids because they're going to play sports there. They pick a pathway program and go, but they go. We've been losing kids forever there, mostly for facilities. Things kids don't leave this district because of facilities. They're fooling themselves. Part of this, another thing is, well, one time we had 20,000 kids. Yeah, one time we had probably close to 90,000 residents. The fact of the matter is, part of this process that RIDE requires is a demographic study, which was done. And the demographic study shows that the high school population is going up to 2032, do not fall below roughly 1,100 kids. So that's 2,200 high school kids that we have for the foreseeable future. One school for 2,200 kids is just too big. We had decided that. As far as, and I take a little personal umbrage here because there are some subtle allegations made that somehow the building committee, the school committee, the officials are somehow trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. Frankly, it's ridiculous on its face. Work was done, it was open, it was transparent. If people chose not to pay attention or participate, I mean, you can't force them, right? But again, to come into the ninth inning and say, well, I wasn't here for the first eight, but I don't like the score of the game, so let's change the game, doesn't seem to be fair. Another point of this process, it's not as if once you design one school and off you go. You have to submit to the Department of Ed, who will approve plans and who will make sure that you're conforming to their rules. This air conditioning argument is a canard. Okay, East Providence built their high school with a tempered air system. Is it technically refrigerant-based air conditioning? No. But should the referendum had said two schools, $350 million with a refrigerant-based air conditioning system? Of course not. Of course not. Okay, value engineering happens all the time in these projects. It's very common. Cranston went through it with Garden City. They're going through it with Gladstone. Johnston is turning the whole plan on their head. So the idea that some people seem to want a finished product before we can even put pencil to paper doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, the bait and switch argument, I don't buy that at all. I categorically dismiss that. We were very clear that value engineering would take place. We had open houses. We told people that solar panels wouldn't survive, most likely wouldn't survive. The Sky Bridge probably wouldn't survive. So to say that, well, too bad, got to go back and revote it, then I would submit this. The $56 million bond that the voters approved had HVAC in every single. Because of inflation, we can't do that. We've picked, I think, four schools or five schools. We're doing that, right? Warwick Neck was supposed to get an HVAC. We put a tempered air system in that school. So what happens when what you want to do, you can't do because inflation? Should we have gone back out to vote on that one too? I just don't understand. I don't get the thought process behind that. And as far as the tax levy goes, Mr. Schaefer had two numbers, 5.1%, if I'm sorry, 5.7 and 7.1. So if I do my math correctly, my property tax is 14 and change a thousand. So 5% of that would be 81 cents a thousand. 7% of that would be 99 cents a thousand. When we were having public forums on this project, donating to taxpayers who showed up, it would be approximately $1 a thousand based on the previous assessment. So another thing that I think people think is that if this bond passes tonight, tomorrow your taxes go up. This phases in over 5 years. Okay, I'm a taxpayer too. My neighbors are. And so the nearly 60% of people had voted for this project. Okay, it is expensive. We never said it would be cheap. We never said it would not be a heavy lift. But my kids went through these schools. And my nieces went through North Kingstown. And I said it before on this floor, it's a tale of two cities. And nostalgia is nice. But when a student's grandfather or grandparent went to Pilgrim and it looks the same as it looks now, that is nothing to be proud about. Not at all. And at the end of the day, I think Ms. Landry spoke to it best. We're turning on a gas line to run through seven classrooms if one classroom wants gas. That's what happens when you have old infrastructure. So my kids are no longer in the schools. They've all graduated, gotten very good educations, I would add. But my neighbor's kids are still in the schools. Their friends' kids are still in the schools. A lot of people's kids are still in the schools. So if this doesn't pass tonight, okay, you go back again. It gets more expensive, the buildings get worse, and our elementary schools continue to get older too. So the city has to think long range when it comes to school infrastructure. And I hope that this bond passes. I am confident in our numbers. We've had architects and engineers here tonight. We've had our people from Colliers here. And a lot of people want answers to questions, but nobody asked them a question. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Former Warwick City Councilman, former Warwick School District. One question I want to ask, but I don't want to take up my time because I have a statement I want to make, but we haven't heard anything in the discussion tonight regarding the construction cost. We heard about bond anticipation notes from Mr. Schaefer. I was wondering after I sit down if you could maybe lead the discussion as to how is the interest on the construction? So let me just give you a quick example. Let's say this passes in year one, we need to borrow $100 million, and it's 4% interest only. That's $4 million. Where are we going to get that money from? Next year, we do another $100 million. Now we have $8 million that fiscal year. And then finally, we're up to 350, 4%. We need $14 million that year. So my understanding was once the project is completed, that's when the amortization schedule kicks in. That's when the reimbursement. So that I would like to get some answers on that. And the other question is, are we using any of the ride reimbursement money to pay for the construction interest-only loans? So that's the only question I had. But so the other thing I want to talk about is that, you know, I'm listening to a lot of things tonight. I am not against schools. I've never been against schools. What I am is for fiscal responsible government. We've heard the word fiscal responsibility. And one of the things that we haven't heard, it has been no transparency in terms of what is this actually going to cost the taxpayers. We hire consultants that can come in and say, you could build a school for $350 million in 5 years with a gazillion different variables. We have a consultant that comes in that says you could put $68 million into an OPEB trust fund over 9 years. It can be done. You guys do it. And then we ask a five-year projection plan to know what the changes are going to be in our tax rate, and you guys can't do it. You could do it. You just don't want to do it. So that's the issue that I have, and I think that's the problem where a lot of people are very fearful out there this is going to cost, and you don't want to tell them that. Mr. Schaefer could easily do that. We had outside consultants that came here 10 years ago that said you could do that. But let me get into the topic of fiscal responsibility. So in the last 3 years, nobody probably knows this in this room, the city and the school's budgets have gone up $34 million. A maximum tax increase gets you $8.5 million. We've spent more money in the last 3 years on our operating budget than what we could do in a maximum tax increase. So someone might say, well, how the heck are we balancing our budget? We're using federal funds. We're using ARPA money. We're using bailout money. This city is on a spending spree. If you were going to go build, let's say, a $200,000 addition to your house, I doubt you're going to be going buying a new car, a new boat, and other things. We have not gone on a spending diet. We've gone out of control with our spending. Does everybody in this room know that we have a structural deficit in the budget? Do you know what a structural deficit is? Our budget's not balanced. We're spending more money than we're bringing in. And we keep hearing the promise that, well, you know, we got new development and this and that coming in, but we keep spending more money than what we have. Another thing, in 20 years, the city of Warwick, this is only the city budget, increased by $72 million. You know what this council just did a couple months ago? They put us on the hook to spend $68 million for a lifetime healthcare retiree trust fund. $68 million in 9 years. We spent $72 million on everything in the entire city budget over 20 years. Does that make sense to anybody to do something like this when you're talking about spending $350 million on new schools? And by the way, that's backloaded. So by the time you get into year five and six of that $68 million plan, you almost need a maximum tax increase just to put the money into that OPEB trust fund. We're taking $5 million out of our healthcare surplus fund for this fund. We're taking money out of our pension funds to put into this. This is not the long-term kind of planning that we need in the city. It's crisis of the moment planning in the city. Let me tell you another thing, and I talked about this last year. Does anybody have any idea what Warwick's debt is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's $600 million in unfunded liabilities. Warwick on its books has $1 billion in liabilities. When these new bonds pass, the 350 plus the 56, we're going to have $1 billion in unfunded liabilities. We are the worst in the state for this, with the exception of Providence. But Warwick is the worst in the state with the exception of Providence. When you look at the city financial audit, I've looked at the city financial audit from the recent year. General obligation bonds are $75 million. I think Mr. Schaefer just said they were 83.6. Our bond, we have a bond limit. There's a bond limit that our financial advisors tell us, our accountants. It's $319 million. So if you take 319 minus the 75 that we already have in outstanding bonds, we can borrow $243 million by state law. We're going to be borrowing $400 million. If these were not school bonds, we would have to go to the General Assembly to get a law change so we can go over our limit. That's how bad things are going to be getting in the city of Warwick, and nobody cares. We're going to be 166% over our legal debt limit. If you were an individual with a track record like that, guess what your FICO score would be? We all hear about FICO score, right? The city of Warwick is going to be down in the dumps for its credit rating as a result of this. Mr. Schaefer talked about that. What's going to happen if we go to a 30-year bond? We're going to spend $50 million more for the additional 10 years, right? The school department talked about in 20 years, we're going to do 20-year bonds for these schools. And by the time we get paid for the high schools, we need to rebuild all our elementary schools in 20 years. So we were going to take all the money that we're paying in principal and interest payments, not give us tax relief, but build elementary schools. Where's that plan now if we go to 30 years, right? What's going to happen in the city of Warwick if we have some kind of major emergency and we need to borrow money? Our credit score is going to be in the tank. We may not even be able to borrow the kinds of money that we need to borrow. And let me just tell you another thing. I talked to you about the $72 million, right, over 20 years for the city budget. Guess where 45% of that went to? retired employee benefits, lifetime health care, pensions that are paying people at some point in time $200,000 a year after 20 years. And when I talk about lifetime health care, it's zero. An employee retires in the city of Warwick, they're paying 20% today, they retire tomorrow, they pay zero for that until they're 65 years old, then they go on Medicare. What happens when they go on Medicare? City pays 100% of the cost. What else do we pay for? We give them a Medicare supplemental plan, so we pay everything else Medicare doesn't cover. We are spending in the city over $20 million a year on retiree health care. And now we're going to be putting in millions and millions of dollars more into an OPEB trust fund just when we need all this money to build new schools. So this is the problem that I have with the elected officials sitting here today. The school department's budget just went up, I believe, $8.5 million or whatever you're going to decide on, an extra $1 million. They got $4 million in state aid. What is the school department doing to cut down its expenses to help out the taxpayers because you want new schools? They're doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. They got $4.5 million in state aid. That's the largest amount in 20 years that they received. Can't remember the school department getting that much money. And what does the city council and the mayor do? They give them $3.5 million more. The school department needs to start making some sacrifices if they want the taxpayers to build two new high schools. And we're going to see people in this city that their taxes are going to double in 5 years. That's my prediction. My prediction is we're going to see a city in a financial crisis in 5 years. Getting on the ball and be fiscally responsible. There's still time and cut your costs. You need to do that. But I don't see any kind of leadership coming out of this council. Our council is, Mayor Aradesian said it years ago, crisis of the moment. The only time that you guys do something is when there's a major problem, then you react to it. It's a crisis. Well, you know what? We're going to have a major crisis on our hands really, really soon. And like I said, I don't want to sacrifice the education of the kids. I don't want to get into all, should we have built one school or two schools or whatever. For the size of Warwick, we should have good schools. We should be able to build good schools. But we shouldn't be sending people and bankrupting them to do this. It's your responsibility. I think I still got 40 seconds. 1 minute, good. It's your
responsibility. 47 seconds.
Your responsibility to look long term, create long term planning, and create a sustainable budget so we could build new schools and so senior citizens can stay in Warwick.
Thank you. Next up, please identify yourself for the record.
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. Taxpayer, homeowner, the whole spiel. My daughter's in first grade at Warwick Neck, and my youngest will be in kindergarten next year. We voted already on this. We voted on whether or not to release $350 million in bonds with a reimbursement from Ride. That's it, we voted. We didn't vote on architectural plans. We didn't vote on conceptual designs. We voted on whether or not to release the bonds to build the high schools that we need. Now, some of you know that my family, we're newcomers. We've only been here a few years. But we like to get involved. So we've been, you know, volunteer, and now I'm the treasurer at my daughter's school. On top of everything else. So, you know, and I go to school committee meetings, and I go to the meetings, and I'm paying attention. The reality is we have to build these schools. It's to delay this is only going to cost more. There is no point in the future when it will cost less. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. It's already been said, but even for someone like me who's new to our community, I was able to go back and watch the videos and talk to the people who have been a part of this long process to get to today. And I think that's really important, because anybody who's involved in a city process knows how long it takes, right? You start, and then you have to make sure you do all, and by the time you get to the end, the situation looks different. That's just how it works. Now, when we voted on question four, and I remember this too, the city did release a worksheet that allowed you to calculate what your new tax, what your tax liability would be, right, based on every $100,000 of the bond. And I remember that because I read it. And I did the math and saw that this is something that was in our family's budget. But more importantly, is what we need to do in order to invest in our community. And when I hear language of sacrifice, and I think this is a very strange language, the reality is we've already been underfunding our school department. We've been underfunding our school department for quite some time. So for me to see additional funding put towards our school department is basically just to make it even, right? Because when you underfund a school department, when you ask people to sacrifice, what you're doing is you're asking them to sacrifice their children's education. And I'm not willing to do that. Now, the other thing I have heard regularly, and it kind of drives me a little bit nuts, this idea that somehow all of this is related to our students' performance on achievement tests. I'll say right now, I don't care about RICUS scores. Don't care at all. The reason I don't care is because I've been in the education field long enough to know the long history of standardized testing and how irrelevant it largely is on whether or not a student is going to succeed. So what I care about is when my daughter's teachers send home the reports during fall and winter and spring. Does my child read more? Is she better at math? Has she developed social emotional learning skills? All that is happening in our school district. That's why we live here. So I'm saying this to celebrate the positive things in Warwick. And just one other note, I have been really impressed by our school department, especially Mr. Gothberg. I've gone to the meetings, I sit through school committee meetings. At home I can do it with a glass of wine, but I don't do that when it's in person. But the reality is they are working hard. The fact that they have done all of the work that they've been able to do with all of these cost increases to improve the learning environment for our children is remarkable. They're doing the work. And I'm just gonna say it, I trust them. I find them credible. And that's important. So it's time to take this vote. I recognize that my family is in a position where we can pay more, we can spend more to do the things that our community needs. And I think that's the other piece of this puzzle. If this council needs to do some work to protect low-income families in Warwick, I support that. And at the same time, if we can do work to protect low-income families in Warwick, we also need to recognize that there are families like mine that can contribute more for the betterment of our society, for the betterment of our city. And that's our responsibility for those of us who've been blessed with more. So this is not an either or, this is a both and. This is a both and. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Jacob Mador, Warwick resident, Warwick graduate, Warwick teacher. For the record, I want to speak in favor of the new scores, but I want to focus my comments on my recent statement made by my councilman, Mr. Ed Ladestraw. I want to preface this by saying we have often disagreed, but he's always spoke his truth regardless of the consequences, and that's something that should really be admired. With this said, the idea has recently been floated to redo the election. To redo the election, the people have spoken. It reminds me of a little kid on the playground who can't handle the fact that they lost and wants to redo it and try again for a second bite of the apple. I walked a significant part of Ward 5, and when I say significant, I mean more than an entire precinct, in 2 days. And almost every single person who I encountered was positive. Now, I granted, a lot of them I didn't talk to. I just put it in the door. But if they were outside, I had a discussion with them. The people have spoken. On that same ballot, you had an opponent who didn't qualify because they didn't have the required signatures. You would never, and no one in this room should ever support the idea that, well, now they have enough signatures, things have changed, we should redo the election. The same principle should apply to the future of Warwick. The idea to redo an election is the real attempt at a bait and switch. The people have spoken, and even worse, is it against the democratic values of this country. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sean Wiggins. I'm from Ward 4, lifelong Warwick resident. I have three children, one gone through the public school system, the second one is a sophomore at Pilgrim, and the third one was up here tonight. He was the first one. He actually had the cojones to come up here first before me. I actually wasn't going to speak until I saw the Tollgate kids tonight and the Pilgrim kids. Those young students who have nothing to gain from being here other than to speak their mind in front of all of you, in front of all of you, to speak about things they don't have today to give to my 7-year-old who is sitting here for tomorrow. I'm a Little League president. I oversee 300 or so kids. I love every one of them. I watch every one of them play. I want every one of them to get the best this city can offer. I love this city. Been here, my whole life. I've been at that Little League since I was a kid, since I was 7 years old. And I'm giving back and giving back. As I see everything that's unfolding here tonight, some of it just blows my mind. The other part of it is the pride. The gentleman who just spoke, gentleman before him, the pride for the city of Warwick. This is the city that needs to set the tone going forward. We need to set the tone. Let's not talk about Cranston West, all that stuff. Let's do this because it's the right thing to do, and let's do this because we need to do it. Let's do it for my little 7-year-old. Let's do it for everybody's young kids that were here tonight. All the families that have given everything to this city of Warwick. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't going to speak, but then those Tollgate kids, they're right. They got no fields to play on. They're baseball players, you know, they have to go play at Vets. You know, the thought of having, you know, the athletic fields, being somebody who has to take care of a fields, and take care of kids, I know how important it is to those kids. That's why they want to play on good facilities. Let's give it to them. Let's stop, I almost said a bad word, but let's stop around here and actually just do it. And, you know, I am going to say, I implore you, please vote for these schools, do the right things for these children and for the teachers, for the safety of the teachers that are in those schools that need to light and need to actually bunt some bird of the crap out of stuff. All right. So let's do that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Tom Flanders, taxpayer, city of Warwick my whole life. I'm a teacher at Pilgrim High School. I'm a coach. And I just want to speak. I mean, everybody's covered all different topics. You know, the last three people stole half of my ideas that I wanted to say, so I'll go off in another area. But I've been a coach for 30 years, you know, and even at college, you know, I was always told Warwick's the place to go. Warwick's the place to be. And in my heart, it was. When I talked to my teachers at Pilgrim, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be a phys ed teacher. I wanted to be a coach because of those teachers, because of that building, because of the love that I felt in that community. You can still see today that it is strong. When you have kids, like Mr. Wiggins just was talking about, the students from Tollgate and Pilgrim that came tonight, they don't have anything in the race here. This is not going to benefit them. But they are going to be living in Warwick, I'm sure, because they love it, because they wouldn't have been here tonight if they didn't. And they're going to be paying taxes, and they're going to be voting, and they're going to remember tonight. And the other things that I wanted to talk about was my, you know, my players over the years and how my players for years, again, Warwick Vets was there for a long time. And then we had the consolidation. We started losing players to other high schools when we did the consolidation. And Mr. Tester is 100% right. When we talk about facilities, we talk about people going to other places, and you see the success that is going on. I take those bus rides with those kids. We coach those games. We hear the comments. We hear the comments when we go to other places. We hear the comments when they come into our school, where we don't have bleachers, and we don't have a bathroom, and we don't have a press box, and we don't have a concession stand, and we don't have the grass cut. For whatever, because it infuriates me to see the embarrassment on my players' faces, on those students' faces, when kids from other schools ask, you know, I go to the bathroom, and then they go into our school, and then they come out laughing. When tiles in a classroom fall on someone, and I'm telling you, the custodial staff, all the people are doing their best. They have put this Band-Aid over and over again. We've been let down by the city of Warwick over and over again. We're that forgotten thing. And I don't care who was running the city of Warwick. We were a forgotten piece of the puzzle for a long time. Level funded, cut funded. This is cut. That's cut. There was an election. The bond was passed. As an educator, as a citizen, I was super proud. I was proud. I was happy for my students that someday, not my kids, but someday, the kids in Warwick will have a great place to stay here and not go somewhere else and not watch those tax dollars go somewhere else and not watch my tax dollars pay the tuition for someone to go to Cranston West or North Kingston or Pawnagansett. Enough's enough. Build the schools. You already got the vote. Build the schools.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.